You're listening to The Geek Parent, connecting modern parenting and today's nerdy generation.
Break it down one time.
And he's up there and he's in the zone.
We educate and entertain parents through board games, video games, tech discoveries, and STEM education. Inspiring a new generation starts now.
To the Geek Parent Radio with Kat Mahoney
and Josh Ostetler. We'll be with you for the next 40 minutes to discuss some of today's tech gadgets, education, discoveries, and parenting in the digital age.
So today on the Geek Parent Talk Show, in celebration of the National Librarians Day, we're going to talk geek books, and nerdy kind of reads. Not that I read much, since I have little time, even less attention span, but there are some
Squirrel.
Great comics, magazines, and blogs. You do that to me all the time. Look at that car. but there's some great stuff out there to read. I know there really is.
And, you know, I mean, I kind of read the same thing, and you know, it's still reading. I mean, a lot of kids learn to read from, you know, comics or stuff like that. So
that, you know, that's so true, because my middle son, my 13-year-old, actually learned to read from video games. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is really a short story, but it's really relevant to what we're talking about right now. My son started playing the game World of Warcraft when he was 5 years old. Now, a lot of parents who are not into video games, who don't understand voice over IP or have not participated in multiplayer, may be a little bit iffy about this. I know that there are some mothers out there, when I talk about this when we're together, PTO, things like that, they kind of look at me like, you let your son on a computer with other people at 5 years old. I was monitoring my son. Okay, my husband and I both had computers sitting right next to him, and we played with him. So he was in our group too, and we could read everything that was on chat, and we, you know, we kind of walked him through his quest and so forth. Well, he loved this game, and he would constantly ask us, what does that say? What am I supposed to do next? I don't understand.
Yeah, mine did that.
Yeah, and it got to the point where when you're a parent that's gaming as well, you kind of get frustrated a little bit, and you're like, oh, I don't want to keep telling you this. And so I told him one day, I said, you know what, Alex? You're going to have to learn to read because I can't keep doing this. And he really read. I mean, he literally would come home at, you know, from whatever he was doing, like his little daycare that he would go to, and then come home and sit on the computer, and he would really, really try. And I worked with him to read the quest, and he learned to read from World of Warcraft. I mean, that was, and a lot of kids, like you said, learn to read from comics, but kids these days can also learn to read from video games. And of course, like, you know, like Josh and I both, we monitor our kids. So I wouldn't suggest teaching your kid to read on something like Call of Duty.
Just don't give them Oreos and some milk and say, here, we're going to go down the street.
Exactly. And I probably would not recommend having them on a voice over IP chat program at such a young age. You know, at least if my son did with my husband, it was just my husband and I, if my husband was deployed, and we would play little games together and we could hear each other, but it was just us. As far as allowing your child to be on voice over IP with other people, I would not really recommend. Now, this is my opinion, and you can do what you want with your kid, but I would probably not allow my child to be on voice over IP at that age, because there are some things that are said over voice chat that you cannot monitor unless you're on there yourself, and it can get kind of vulgar.
It can get vulgar for even my ears.
Yeah, I mean, you game with me.
That's what I was referring to. How exactly what I was talking
that,
about.
Yeah, that could that
I,
could
I can't, yeah,
yourself.
I can't hear that stuff.
You have such sensitive ears, Josh. I know that.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
Yes, we will. We'll go with that. Moving on to books and stories and blogs, magazines, and so forth, comics. I actually, like I said, I allowed my son to play these video games and learn how to read with us, and he did a great job. So I would highly recommend that if you're going to play a video game, to, you know, of course, read over the ESRB ratings, and then sit down and be with your child when you're going to do this, and allow them to see what's going on. I think, you know, the smaller, like the Wii and the Xbox and the PlayStation, you can put, when you put the kids' games on, they have the, what are those, the closed captions at the bottom?
Yeah.
Where you can, for the hearing impaired and so forth, you can put those on there, because I know some of my son's games do that on the PlayStation, because it gets kind of loud in our house, and allow them to read that. At, you know, to what's going on to you know, what's going on in on the screen, but I would highly recommend that. Now, talking about books, Josh, like I said, I'm not a very big reader, and I there's two reasons why I'm not a very big reader, and I know a lot of geeks are going to be like, how can you be a geek and not read? Okay, I read different ways, okay, different things, but I'm not a very big novel reader. I'm not a big novel. I can't get into it. My husband reads these huge, thick Wheel of Time. What's that Fritz Jordan one there? I forgot the name of it. He reads those big books, the Game of Thrones, Forgotten Realms type books. He reads those really thick books, and he really enjoys it, and I think that's really great, and so does my son, but I can't get into it. My attention span is just not there. I get distracted, or something has to come up, or I think, oh my goodness, did I do this for the geek parent today, and I got to go back down on my computer and fix it. So I get distracted too easily. But my son, the one I was just talking about, Alex, he is just like his father and reads these thick novel books. I mean, he's 13 years old, and he loves to read. And like I said, it started from World of Warcraft. So we have Alex with us today because I want Alex to kind of go over a little bit of his favorite book that he enjoys reading, because there's other there's parents out there that might want to get a book for their child and who is interested into sci-fi or fantasy. And Alex, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, Alex. Are you there, honey?
Yep.
Hi, Alex.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, you're with me and Mr. Josh. So you're going to tell us a little bit about one of your favorite books, and I believe it was Percy Jackson, wasn't it?
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about this book. What is it about?
All right. So the series, it's the Percy Jackson series, and it's by one of my favorite authors, Rick Riordan, and it's about a boy named Percy Jackson at the age of 12, and he finds out that he's a demigod, which is a son of a god, one of the Greek gods known as Poseidon, the god of the sea or water.
And what is it about this book that drew you into the story?
Well, I first encountered the book in the library at school, and I just couldn't find anything else to read, so I just decided to pick that up and start reading it, and I liked it a lot. I'm not sure what about it is, but it's probably how the mythology and history and stuff, and just how Rick Riordan wrote it out, that just drew me in.
Now, you, because of, you know, books like this, you're into Greek mythology, aren't you? You really started studying some of that Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. along with the second season of this book known as the Heroes of Olympus. It's about the Greek and Roman gods. And then along with Rick Riordan's other series, I forget the name of it, but it's about the Egyptian gods and their mythology.
And I think that's such a neat thing for you to kind of learn about. It's a neat mythology, and a lot of games that we play revolve around those type of mythologies. Am I correct, Josh? The World of Warcraft has some of that mythology as well.
Yeah, it has that type of mythology, or it's based off of, or they use it as kind of a building block and build their own mythos behind it. A lot of these books, like the Percy Jackson, they're really, in at least the way I think of it, it's a really good tool to help teach the kids that, you know, it's kind of melding the now and the new and the old, and teaching them about history, even if it is, you know, the Greek god history. It's really teaching them about the history and a lot of those old stories, and kind of twisting it into a today's society and in the way today's kind of things.
I agree, and it really, and I think the greatest thing that I enjoy about these type of books. Like you said, it doesn't matter what type of mythology or gods, goddesses, you know, what you're believing in is the fantasy and the science fiction part of it, is that it is teaching kids to become creative, to become imaginative, to learn from certain things. And it is intertwining today's culture with the way cultures used to be in certain societies. And we can all learn from that. So, Alex, would you recommend this book to other teenagers?
Yes, I would, definitely.
And how many stars would you rate the book?
In my opinion, I would rate it 5 stars, definitely, because I just like the hero action in it, along with the mythology, and then near later on, the romance.
Excellent. And now that is just the book, because if you haven't read the books yet, I would highly recommend reading the books compared to the movie, because there is a movie out, and if you haven't seen the movie, it's pretty good too.
And he's alive.
How long was that?
7 minutes.
That's crazy, man.
How do you do it?
I don't know. I just like being in water. It's one place I can think.
There are 12 Olympian gods. Big three are the brothers Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades. The children of these gods were half human, half gods.
Hey, Mom. I thought this school was supposed to make things better.
Someday it'll all make sense.
Percy Jackson? We need to talk.
I found him. Who found me?
We've been expecting you.
The gods are real.
My father's Poseidon.
God of the seas.
Wow. Between myths and legends.
Zeus's bolt is the most powerful weapon ever created.
It's been stolen. Between this world and the next.
If it's not returned by the summer solstice, there will be a war.
Are 3 heroes.
All demigods have inherited skills.
I definitely have strong feelings for you. I just haven't decided if they're positive or negative yet.
Who must stand and fight?
We'll find the bolt.
There's nowhere safe on heaven and earth for him now.
Take this to defend yourself. It's a powerful weapon.
This is a pen.
Only use it in times of severe distress.
This is a pen.
Click it! Wait!
Time has run out.
Maybe you're no son of Poseidon.
2010.
That came out a while ago.
So if you haven't seen the movie, huh?
I said that came out a while ago.
Yes, it did. And so if you haven't seen it, I would recommend that you see it. But my son actually says that he did not enjoy the movie as much as he enjoyed the books. And isn't that – that's common, I think. A lot of people who read the
book. It is common. I mean, there's a lot of books that – you know, I've seen a few of them. And it's – I mean, you can – you have to – you can't go into it and think, all right, I read the book. This is what I pictured it in my head. Now this is what I expect to see. And I kind of did that with a few movies or a few books that I've seen that were are books that I've read that were then made into movies. And it's like, now you just have to go into it. This is a completely different medium. It's its own entity, and you can't necessarily translate everything from a book to a movie.
I agree. I completely agree. And you know what gets me is a lot of people who review some of the movies will put down poor review for the movie. Even if I've never read the book before and I thought the movie was absolutely wonderful, they put down a poor review because they have read the book before and they say it has nothing to do with what the book is, and they didn't like the movie. But I don't really rely on that as a review, because you do, like you just said, you have to go in thinking of it as a different, you know, type of separate entity, because the books are, obviously books are going to be much better because it's your own imagination that you're using.
It's
not somebody else's. The way I see Percy Jackson may be totally different the way you see Percy Jackson, and if I put my movie up there, you might not like it. And so, you know, that's where I think a lot of people have that misconception of going in there thinking it's going to be just like the book, but that's their imagination, not the director's cut. So, so I'm not too fond with people who rate movies off of reading the books, but I hear the books are really good. Another type of book that he enjoys is the Harry Potter, of course. Are your kids into Harry Potter?
No, the 10-year-old is just kind of getting into reading, and it's the Diary of the Wimpy Kids is what he's basically reading.
Oh, yep. He read those too, and I think those are hilarious. Those are so good. Have you started reading some of those? I like I said, I don't read a lot, but I do kind of skim through some of the books that my kids are reading, and I think Diary of the Wimpy Kid was very funny.
I haven't read any of those. I have enough books that I read on my own that I don't have time to read those. So.
Now, you do read. So what are you basically reading right now?
The one that I'm reading right now is Stephen King, Mr. Mercedes. And it's about a killer whose name is Mr. Mercedes. And that's kind of what the news has dubbed him as. I've just started getting into that one. The book I read right before that, I just finished, was another Stephen King novel. I like Stephen King. It's 11/22/63, which is about a guy who travels back in time and tries to stop the Kennedy assassination.
Wow.
And he ends up, he can only travel back to September of 58, I believe, is the date he can travel back to. So he travels back in time, and then he has to live up to the time of Kennedy's assassination. And it goes through, and it's a really good book. My wife got me into reading it, and I was kind of like, and I took my time getting into it. And then once I got into it, I couldn't put it down, but that's pretty much par for the course with Stephen King books.
Yeah, Stephen King is an amazing writer. I read some of his books when I was younger, but then I started watching some of the little mini series that he sometimes has out.
Yeah.
I start watching those, and those were pretty good. But my one of my best friends in high school, her mother was from Maine. Her neighbor was Stephen King.
Oh,
and
that'd be cool.
she Oh, she loved, and she knew him before he became, because she was a little girl, obviously, but she knew him when before he became really big and famous. And at the time, while he was writing books, she started collecting some of the books, and she has every single one of his books for free, signed and everything.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Oh, it's amazing, and I couldn't believe, and, you know, when I'm looking at, the books, I'm going, wow, you know somebody cool. That's really neat. But it was it was just really neat. How great would that be to have Stephen King as your neighbor? You know what I mean?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
that would,
hey,
that would definitely
would you
be
like
awesome.
To come over for Pet Cemetery? Yeah, he might be a little bit freaky to me. I don't know.
That'd be real cool.
Yeah. He's a great author. I really like him too. I haven't. I'm really, like I said, I don't really get into a lot of books, but I do read a lot of comics, of course, and I like taking them in stride. I guess give me some drawing to it. Anime, that would work for me. So yeah, comics and a lot of blogs, obviously. I read as well, and that kind of moves us into our app of the week. And our app of the week for my app of the week, Kat's app of the week, is Flipboard. I don't know if any of you are using that. Now, Josh, you use Flipboard, don't you?
I do use Flipboard, and if people aren't, they should really check out the Geek Parents Flipboard.
I completely agree. What Flipboard is it is both for Android and for iOS, so there's no excuses. You can go ahead and download it, depending on, you know, whichever iOS or Android that you use. But it is compatible for both. And
regular browsers.
That's right. They moved to the regular browser as well, and I really like that because now it's really big and I can kind of switch on and off. But it's a personal magazine, and it's used by millions of people. And what you do is you kind of subscribe, almost like you're subscribing to somebody's Facebook wall that, you know, they put articles and everything on, but it's very – the eye candy is really good, and the layout is really good. It flows nicely. But you subscribe to these magazines that other people have put together from links or from other blogs that they've found, and you can kind of put it into like a topic. For instance, the Geek Parent one is obviously about technology and parenting and modern living, and we find articles or our own articles from our own websites and links, and we kind of put them all together in this magazine, and you can take us with you, so you can kind of keep updated with what's going on, among other things, in the industry that we have found useful or might be great to read, because, you know, a lot of times people, they might not be subscribed to us on Facebook, and if we put a link to something, they don't get to see it. So if you're subscribed to us on Flipboard, then you can read it like a magazine, and you can even pin it to your own magazine if you're interested in that. And it's a way for everybody to kind of collect stories and manage a different magazine collection in one. And then you can use it for widgets with your Android device, and then you can bookmark certain articles that you like and you want to go back to, and I absolutely love Flipboard. I think it's a great little invention that they have, because there's so many things out there that I can't keep track of, so having it all in one magazine makes it so much worthwhile. What do you think?
Yeah, I use Flipboard basically daily. In the mornings, me and my wife sit down and we have coffee, and we'll go, you know, we don't read the paper like my parents do. We go through and reread all the news articles on our phones, and we kind of have the news on in the background, and, you know, we sit there and talk, and Flipboard's one of my go-tos that I flip through daily.
Definitely. So it's flipboard.com if you want to check it out on the on your browser, or just go search for Flipboard on Android or iOS, and you can subscribe to the Geek Parent. We do have a link on our website, but we'll have a link on this podcast as well. And you can just go to Flipboard and then type in the Geek Parent, and our magazine will come up too. So I'd highly recommend subscribing to it. And Josh, you have an app of the week. What is yours?
I do, and it's pretty a standard app for me, I guess. My app is called the Marvel Comics app. Woo, surprise! DC does have one.
That's for all of us.
I'm not as big of a DC fan. I do like Flash and stuff, but I'm not as big of a DC fan. I am Spider-Man is my favorite superhero. So, and really that's the reason why I got it, that I read through the Spider-Man series. So, Marvel Comic, it's basically a little store that you can purchase comics. You can set up subscriptions to comics, and they will automatically download monthly, and then you can read them. They have, it's available for iOS and Android. I believe. I did see that, yes, Android. And you can read the comic books, and you can either read them like traditional where it's just a full screen and you have to follow it yourself, or they have, I forget what mode they call it, but it's basically like a guided mode, and it brings you from box to box and kind of pulls you through the story. So it's a pretty cool little app. They have a lot of days they'll have like free comic book day where you can download a comic book for free or and I've built up a little bit of a collection that way. So a lot of the other ones I don't necessarily read.
Now, do they also feature like interviews with the artists?
No, it's strictly for comic books.
Comics. No, it looks really good. In fact, I'm downloading it right now on my tablet, so I'll have to go through that and see what I've been missing, because I didn't realize that they had an app with the comics.
I downloaded the DC one, and I believe it's called DC Comics. And then there is – I'm kind of going to trample on my app of the week, I guess, a little bit, but there is a Comicology, and they kind of all work in unison. The only thing that's bad about the Comicology is you can't browse it on your phone, which is why I kind of stuck to the Marvel comics, is because I can browse them. I can buy them straight from my phone or iPad, and then I can read them.
Right. And that, you know, I think that, I think a lot of comics and artists are moving over as well. Well, not just moving over, but kind of transitioning some of their work to technology this way, because this is what kids are reading.
You can bring 50, 60 comics with you at a time and being able to and read them wherever
right.
you want.
Exactly. And it kind of allows the kid, I mean, especially for traveling. I mean, if you're going to travel and your kid wants to read in the car, their comics are, it sure beats bringing 500 different books.
Yes, exactly.
So I like it. I think it's awesome. I think it's Marvel Comics, and it's at you can check it out at marvel.com/mobile. And Josh will, if you have any questions about the app, you can reach Josh at josh@thegeekparent.com, because he is our comic book expert. And he will he'll love to talk with you about comics and the latest issues that are out. So head on over to the Geek Parent and download it, or you can head over to marvel.com/mobile.
And so this week's Tech of the Week, I'm going to be honest with you, it's not a Kickstarter. I hate to disappoint everybody, but it is very difficult.
Oh, really?
really? To find a Kickstarter that is about technology and books. it's not easy. Unless it was, you know, a catapult or something. Oh, hey, now. But the one, the tech that I did find that I ended up is one that I actually use and have used for quite a few years now. So it's not a new tech, and it could, I guess, have been an app, but it's not just an app. It's called Zinio, and what Zinio is it is a magazine. You can subscribe to magazines to it, and then you get them downloaded, kind of like the Marvel Comics app. But this is, it is for, they have a website you can go through. You can subscribe to magazines. I think the new one I just saw was for $5 a month, you get like 6 magazines, and then you can trade out and you can get whatever magazines you want. So you don't have to like pay for a full subscription, or you can pay for a full subscription. And you can sit there and you can read them online. You can either read them just on a browser, or they do have a program that you can download to your computer, and then it will just keep updated in the background, and then you can open it up and read it. And then, of course, they do have apps for iOS and Android. And all your almost any magazine that you would want to find is on there. There's a whole mess of tech ones that I was looking at today. I use Photoshop for work, and I've used Photoshop for years. And when I first started teaching myself Photoshop, I got a Photoshop magazine that I got monthly and kind of did a lot of tutorials out of there. So it's a really cool program for magazines that you don't have to go to a local bookstore to try to pick up a magazine. And there's a lot of cool overseas ones.
Yeah, and because they have their books are their magazines are around the world. It's not just U.S. based.
Oh, they're completely all circling. I mean, there are some. I've seen some Swedish Photoshop ones. I've seen some Japanese Photoshop ones. Those are the ones that I kind of, you know, gravitate more, not necessarily Photoshop, but graphic design, photography, technology, and they are from everywhere. If there's like a Mac magazine that you like, but you want to see how they write in different parts of the world, you can get one from the United States, you can get one from Japan, you can get from Europe. It's all over.
And they have, some pretty popular ones too. Popular Science, Mac Life, iPhone Life, Cosmopolitan, Rolling Stones, GQ. I mean, there's all kinds of magazines on this, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. Now, do you have to subscribe to these?
Yes, you do have to purchase them
individually. Or okay.
Well, there is some free ones, but they're going to be. You're not necessarily going to get those as the major magazines. They're going to be, some minor publications that are trying to get the word out there. Or there's going to be ones that are free anyways, so they just post them for free.
Right, right. Now, this is on the iOS, the Android, and Windows 8. So if you read this, if you don't want to read it on your gadget device, your mobile device, you can read it on the computer too, right?
Yes, and I actually, as much as I like reading it on my iPad, I prefer reading it on my big 24-inch monitor. So,
right, right. And, you know, with us getting older, our eyes are getting weaker, and so we have to have that big old grandma font, you know. So, it's easier to read it on the big monitor. I'm there with you, Josh.
Yeah, you know, like 28-point font or something like that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But I like this. I think it's great. And I think, like we said earlier, that a lot of things are now transitioning over to be read on the tablets and the mobile devices, and which kind of brings us to, with Earth Day coming up next week, it saves on paper. And it saves on, you know, a lot of mailing and having to pay for shipping on subscriptions. Or, I mean, sometimes, obviously, I go to Barnes & Noble and I'll probably sit there and read a couple of magazines, and that's about it. And then I'll go home, and then I'll, if I like the magazine, I'll subscribe to it on my tablet. But I very rare times anymore that I will subscribe to a magazine in the mail. I will probably do that for my daughter with her. She likes American Girl doll, and so they have their own magazine, and I'll do that for her because it's something that she enjoys. But truthfully, and because they also have little crafts in there that they cut out from the magazine, and you can't do that with a tablet, you know. So obviously that's going to be an exception to the rule. But I kind of want to go over with. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I kind of want to go over some of the pros and cons. I know a lot of parents are wondering, should tablets replace textbooks in the home or in the school?
100%.
And there's a lot of pros, and there are some cons too, but I think a lot of the pros outweigh the cons. And so I just want to kind of go over a couple of them before our time runs out, so I won't go over all of them, but I will post these on our website so that if you are a parent and you're trying to make that decision, should I, you know, let my child, should I buy them a tablet or a Nook or, you know, whatever it is that you want your child to use, should I invest the time to purchase this for my child to read books, or should I go and just keep buying books? You know, I mean, there are some pros and cons. So let's start off with the tablets help students learn materials faster. Okay, technology-based instruction, it has been known to reduce the time students take to reach learning objectives by 30 to 80%. This is from the U.S. Department of Education and the studies from the National Training Simulation Association. So 30 to 80% reading technology-based materials increases learning capabilities of that child by 30 to 80% as opposed to textbooks. That's actually quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that right there would make me think about it. Now, also, tablets can hold hundreds of textbooks like you and I were talking about. That is a very big pro, that textbooks can hold millions of books compared to having to carry all these books in your car for traveling or for going to grandma's house or, you know,
or lugging them through the school in your backpack.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a big, because, oh my goodness, my daughter her back's already struggling with all the textbooks that she has to carry in her backpack, and she's very, very small. So this, you know, just having everything on the tablet itself would really help health-wise as well. Now, like I said, we don't have a lot of time, so I'll post these on our website, but I do want to kind of go over some of the cons. And some of the cons would be that there are some health issues that professionals are talking about. Obviously, tendonitis. You're going to have eye problems. A lot of kids, especially with glasses, you're going to have to increase that font because, you know, glasses just there's a lot going on there with the reflections and the way the fonts are set up on the tablet. So we've got some health issues that you've got to consider. They can be distractions. I mean, when you're reading, obviously this happens to me. I decide, I think I'm going to go play some Farm Hero right now. So it can be a little bit of a distraction. But I really think that it's better to put everything on the tablet, I wouldn't say get rid of all the textbooks, because I know that we do need some textbooks. And heck, you never know. We might have, this solar flare or something where everything goes out, and now we have nothing to read. Okay.
Well, I'll just march my happy butt down to Barnes & Noble then, and I'll pick up a book.
There we go, there we go. So we are all going to hang out at Barnes & Noble if we get a solar flare or a zombie apocalypse. So Barnes & Noble, watch out for us at the Geek Parent. And I don't know, Josh might beat me there because I'm not too much of a reader.
Well, I'll just go to my parents' house. My mom's got a million books, so.
There you go. Parents always do. Always do.
Yeah.
Well, that's it from the Geek Parent Radio. Thank you for allowing us into your homes or your office this evening. Links, photos, and more information on anything we discussed tonight can be found from our website at thegeekparent.com.
You can also keep updated with our discussions, our upcoming guests, and future topics on Facebook, Twitter, and Google. Just visit our website and click the social media links.
And enjoy the rest of your week. We look forward to talking with you again right here every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Again, everything's going to be on our website as soon as we're done or tomorrow morning. Just make sure you double-check it because there's a lot of pros and cons and a lot of great geek books that are out there we didn't get a chance to talk to. So until then, I'm Kat Mahoney.
And I'm Josh Hochstetler. See you next week. Same geek time, same geek channel.